You might like to turn in your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, thank you. Take that which you have given, Spirit of God, and bring us into a sense and awareness of the magnificence of your person, of your plan, of your glory, of your honor. And our God will thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. Being the season, and you want to be aware of the fact, I want you to be conscious. We are all conscious of each other being here. And we ought to be conscious of God being here. We are in the presence of God. Always, always, always in the presence of God. Never without the presence. Now, having said that, then let us consider that. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Our Lord God, God created our Lord Jesus Christ in his perfect humanity. And in the process, he came and he had a wonderful, wonderful plan. And it involved God the Son of Man. It involved him. And in the process, God, there is no, remember now, there is just God. No other gods. No other anything. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. 1 John 1:1. And the Word became flesh. In the beginning, the Word became flesh. In the beginning, the Word became flesh, verse 14. And the Word of God was God. He was God, is God, always is God. John 1:1. Always God. We're in the presence of God. Now God, and there's no one else. Hang on. No one else. Just God. Now, God, you are awesome, glorious. You are just glorious. To be who you are is awesome indeed. And therefore, God, you have a wonderful plan because you're going to go and give expression to your marvelous person. And you're going to do so by yourself, because there's no one else to do it. It's going to center in your wonderful person. It's going to start with you, outwork you, outwork your plan, and end with you. So now, when it's all done, then, our Lord Jesus Christ, his wonderful assignment on planet Earth, chapter 14, I should say, and I'm picking up, if I can, chapter 15, and in verse 27. And he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are under his feet, it is manifest, clear, public, plain, that he is accepted. God the Father obviously isn't, which did put all things under him, our Lord. And when all things shall be subdued, everything is in order, unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. In other words, the wonderful person of Jesus Christ, born in Bethlehem of Judea, his wonderful assignment as the Son of Man is to go and bring everything back into order. A wonderful plan that's going to bring it all. What for? That, the end of verse 28, that God may be all in all. God, period. The beginning, the ending, God, period. There is no one else. Hang on to that. Now, God, you're going to honor yourself. I am. I am. Now, I want you to get a handle on that because, anyway, you'll pick it up. Over, if you would please, to now add a couple of more. God is going to be, must be, all in all. God, anywhere, everywhere, in all of it, all of creation, glorifying God. Romans chapter 11. Keeping in mind, Romans 11 and the end of that section on Israel, verse 36. For of him, he's the source, and through him, and to him, he's the object. For all things, for all things to whom be glory forever and ever. God is the start, the source. Everything has to work through him and out of him. And all of it ends up for him. He's the object, that he might be glorified. That's the object of all of creation in any way, shape, or form. One other place, over to Revelation and chapter 5. God will say it again for us. And in Revelation chapter 5, you would recall in the great throne, before the great throne of God, verse 11, and thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things for thy pleasure. The word pleasure is the word will, God's will. God willed it for thy pleasure. They are and were created. So anything and everything involves God's wonderful outworking for his wonderful glory and honor. And it's all about God, start to finish. Now, having said that, God is excluded from the world system. And God, but you must be included, and he will be, ultimately. Now, in the process, God going to do, he created angels, remember? I'm going to slide over to, while I'm here looking at it, Revelation chapter 5 and verse 11. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands and thousands of thousands. Thousands of thousands, thousands. God, what you created angels for? God, you created the angels, that's right. And if we took time to read in Psalm 148, what are you going to tell us? God said, I created the angels. I created them. Why did you create the angels? What do the angels do? Oh, the angels serve your purpose. What are the angels for? The angels are created spirit beings, because God is spirit, and the angels are created to enjoy God, to enjoy God's wonderful person in all of his being. That's what they're created for. Well, so I know I got to get the angels into the picture. God created them in his plan. Now remember if you would, that God determined, we shared it last week or so, God determined to die on the cross before anything is ever created, including angels. And God did that. So God, you have a wonderful plan. It involves, you're here in Revelation, thank you for reminding me, Revelation chapter 5. God is all about what? Chapter 5, verse 6. And behold, lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns, seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth upon all into all the earth. Now, he's the Lamb of God slain. Slain when? When? Chapter 13. Chapter 13, picking up in verse 8. And that all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life, of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. God, before anything was created, you determined in your wonderful plan and program to glorify yourself by yourself in the person of Jesus Christ, and he is going to be, you're going to have him born in Bethlehem of Judea. He's going to be born, and he's going to have a wonderful assignment to bring everything back in order. What is out of order? I'm going to let Lucifer, son of the morning, sin and get a host of angels that go bad. I'm going to let Adam and Eve sin and a whole host of humanity bad. I'm going to let it all happen. And I'm going to honor myself in a most unique way. God, are you righteous? Are you just? Are you fair? Are you merciful? You're all of those and more. Well, how can we ever know that? God, you're going to demonstrate it. And you make it all happen. And before anything could ever happen, for the umpteenth time, Christ had to die, determined to die, before anything is ever created. Now hang on. God, it's just God. And here's angels. His angels. And here we are. Now, look at God. And in the light of that, here's all the angels watching, good and bad. Over to Job 38. And in Job chapter 38, picking up, please. And reminding us. In Job 38, here, God telling Job about his creation. And sliding, if I can, to verse 4, to Job. Where wast thou when I laid the foundation of the earth? Declare if thou had understanding. Remember, the Lamb slain before the foundation of the earth. And where were you when I did this? Verse 5. Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched the line upon it? Who measured it out? Who put it together? Wherefore, whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? How does it hang out there in space? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? And when the morning stars, the angels, sang together, and all the sons of God, angels, shouted for joy. Now, God, you created, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And all the angels are watching. That's right, because what's their assignment? Their assignment is to glorify God and honor God and appreciate God. And enjoy. God created to enjoy. For the angels to enjoy him. Now, and therefore, here they are looking at God's wonderful creation. And then God goes, after creating, they're looking at it, wow. And then God goes, in the day, 6 days, on the sixth day, God creates Adam and Eve in his image and likeness. That's different, because angels aren't like that. No, they aren't like that. No, angels are spirit beings. And here are humans, made in his image and likeness, having a unique and awesome function to reflect him in an awesome way. Now, God, in your wonderful plan, you know Adam and Eve is going to sin. They're going to sin. I know that. But I want you to know, in the plan, in order for all of this to come forth, I have made a provision. I have made a provision for them to know me in an awesome way. Oh, Adam and Eve, before you sinned, did you know him? Oh, we did, in an awesome way, no question. But, Adam and Eve, you sinned, and you became naked, and you realized that you were but dust, made of the dust of the ground. And all of a sudden, if not that before, you are made awake and alert that God is awesome. And we are his creation made of the dust of the ground. Wow. And Adam and Eve, are you going to appreciate God differently? Absolutely. Absolutely. Are we going to see God differently than before we sinned? You bet your boots. Now, so here we are looking to God. And God, you're going to provide, Genesis 3:15, a wonderful, wonderful Savior, the seed of the woman. And you're going to do that. Now, in the process of doing all of that, Adam and Eve put the coats of skin on that God put them on. And God made for them, a covering. And they did that. So they have a unique, awesome sense of God about themselves. They got to have a sense about themselves to have an awesome sense of God. Otherwise, we're going to be like Lucifer, son of the morning, that wanted to try to be like God. And we can't be like God. So therefore, in the process, here's Noah, and in Noah's day, what do the people do? They aren't going to pay attention to God. No. Nope, God has a wonderful plan. And Cain didn't want the plan, and he got everybody else, for the most part, to not want that plan. And so then we go, and Genesis flood. Is anyone paying attention to God's wonderful person? He has a wonderful plan. No, all we're doing is exemplifying that without God, we have no life. And in the days of Genesis 6, we're all dead in trespasses and sin, even though here we are living on earth until the time of the Genesis flood. And after that, Noah, and remember, Noah and the sons of Noah, and in the process, they are born. And in Genesis 11, God, they build, the great host of people build up everything, and community, tower, religion, politic. They have it all together, one unit. And God, what are they trying to do? Avoid God. They're trying to avoid the plan of God. They're trying to get God out of the picture. Wow. Who gives that incentive? The devil does. Hath God said? Is God really God? How do you know that? Can you see him? Can you feel him? No. Look at you, look at me. You can't look at him. What about God? Now, so therefore, in the process, Abraham comes along, and Noah's day, and Abraham comes along, and Abraham believes God, and he comes out from a heathen world, an idolatrous world, and God brings him out of that setting, as it were. And in the process, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. That's what it was. Now, God, you have a wonderful plan. It's an awesome plan. Now, but who's paying attention? Well, Abraham did. In chapter 22, Genesis in chapter 22. And you will note, please. Remember, Abraham was given a test to take his son, the promised one, Isaac, and to go up and kill him up at Mount Sinai, Moriah, and in the process, in the land of Moriah, and in the process of that, he went up, and he carried, Isaac is old enough to carry the wood, carries the wood up for his own funeral up there, he carries the wood up, and in verse 8, and Abraham said, my son, to his Isaac, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went, both of them together. Now, do you see the little verse 8? My God will provide. He's going to provide for himself. God is going to do for himself what needs to be done. Who's going to provide the lamb? God is. My son, slain from the foundation of the world. He is going to be the Lamb. I am going to provide the Lamb. That's important. Now, and thus, and Abraham knew that. Abraham believed God. He was counted to him for righteousness. And so God, his Abraham, but what about the rest of the world? Well, there's a Job out here, that's true. But generally speaking, nothing. Now, so therefore God, and by the way, down to verse 14, and Abraham called the place, the name of the place, Jehovah Jireh, as it is said, to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be sent, to be seen, provide. God provides the Lamb. Now, God, are you going to provide the Lamb? I told you that. That's my plan. My plan is to bring forth a wonderful presentation of my awesome person in an awesome way that you couldn't even dream of. I'm going to go and have him be born in Bethlehem of Judea and die in Calvary's cross. And I'm going to provide. I provide him. He's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. We're here. We're doing it. Who's doing it? God's doing it. World, are you paying attention? No. Over, if you would, please. In the light of that, God's doing in his most wonderful way. And here's Moses, and remember Pharaoh and all of those wonderful things. And Moses met God at the burning bush and all of that, Exodus 3. And he sent Moses to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh, what are you going to say in Exodus chapter 5? If you would, verse 2, you don't have to turn there. What are you going to say, Pharaoh? I know not the Lord. And who on earth gives you permission to leave my presence? I don't know him. You will. Now, God, you could make this known all of the time, all of history. You could have been doing this. Nope. The world's doing what it's doing. And God, you're doing. You have a wonderful plan. I do. You know, they don't pay attention. No, they don't. So here's Pharaoh. And here's Mount Sinai and the people, even at Mount Sinai, you'll remember, in Deuteronomy chapter 5 and that. What do you mean? Well, if we hear his voice anymore, we'll die. Well, he's the one that died in the... He's going to die on the cross. He's the Savior. He's going to provide the Lamb. Why aren't you excited at Mount Sinai about a great God? But you aren't. You aren't. You're all caught up in yourself. And God, you tell us what you want and we'll do it as if we were able to do it. We aren't God. Who do we think we are? And that's what Israel was. So here's God in his wonderful movement, outworking his wonderful life in a most extraordinary way. Now, having said that, and you know we're going to go over to, if you would, to over to Isaiah 53. Now, God, you're going to say all kinds of things on the journey as you go, Isaiah 53. And picking up, if I can, it's all about Isaiah 53, about the Son of Man being crucified. It's all about him. So Isaiah 53, if you want to know about the seed of the woman, about the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world, if you want to know, God said, I'm going to help you to know. He's going to go to the cross. I told you he was going to go to the cross. I gave you a clue, lots of clues, that before anything was created, the cross has to happen. Christ has to die. The Lamb has to die. Well, that's the way it is. Well, there's no choice in it. God, you're doing it. Well, God, why are you doing it? Because I'm God. I'm God. I'm doing it for myself, for my own glory. Now, wow. And therefore, you could go, not very far, go to Isaiah chapter 7, you're right next door, and you're going to have another point on the journey. Isaiah chapter 7, you'll remember. And in verse 14, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. Now, all God, you kept telling all the people, you tell them all that's going to happen and all that's going to take place, and you let them know that if they would but pay attention, and they need to pay attention. Well, now God, you're going to be more specific, I am, of all the different things, Zechariah chapter 9. So God, you keep saying it, but no one's listening. Nope, no one's listening. They will, but not yet. Zechariah chapter 9, and picking up, if I can, you know the wonderful reference of God speaking of his coming. Chapter 9, and in verse 9, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, why, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly, and riding upon an ass, even the colt of an ass. Wow, wow, that's how he's going to come. That's when he's going to come, like that. That doesn't sound impressive, but that's how he's going to come. And it says, thy king. What king? Well, the Messiah's king. But we don't understand that, really. So when it comes to a king, we think of kings and rulers, but we don't think of God as king. That isn't part of our thinking. So now, over, if you would please, to Micah. If I can. And in Micah, and in Micah chapter, I'll get it myself. Obadiah, Micah, Jonah, Micah. Okay. Chapter 5. Micah chapter 5. God, you're going to say it again. I want to keep it in mind that God, you're going to present yourself. You're the centerpiece. And in chapter 5 of Micah, as you're familiar, but thou, Bethlehem, Ephrata, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come. Shall he come forth unto me, to me. That is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. He's the everlasting God. He's going to be born in Bethlehem of Judea. And remember, Bethlehem is a little bit, 6-7 miles away from Jerusalem and that. And here's the little town. You go right through it, you wouldn't even know it. Wow. Now, why are you going to be born there? Why couldn't you be born somewhere else? No, no. No. Why, and you're not even going to be born in a fancy place. You're going to be born in a manger. That's right. That's right, where the animals are. That's where I'm going to be born. You aren't. I am. I am. But you're God. I am. But I'm going to be born there. You're a great God, an awesome God. The world isn't paying attention. You have a plan. They think they have their plans. But you know what? All the plans of people and nations and rulers and philosophies and religions, they all die. They all become dust. Why do they become dust? Because the originator of them is human, are humans. And humans are made of dust. They are dust. They go back to dust. There's nothing left. Is anyone paying attention? God, you're paying attention. What are you demonstrating? You're a marvelous, marvelous person to demonstrate the depths and the heights of your magnificence. It isn't the best illustration, but think of taking a black cloth and then putting very fancy diamonds on it. And they show up. They show up. Wow. God, you're doing what? I'm going to show it forth. You aren't. I am. I am. I am. I am. And he's born in Bethlehem, Judea, the Lamb of God slain before from the foundation of the world. And therefore, in the light of all of that, therefore Moses is able to go, and Moses has a unique relationship. He knows you. In fact, it was said, he asked you. He said, who shall I say? Exodus 3, 14, 13. Who shall I say has sent me? What is his name? Verse 14. I am that I am. Always who I am. Never less than who I am. Forever, forever, at all times, I am who I am. God. And we're in your presence. No one seems to know. No one seems to care. Just think of Sunday school where we try to put it together so you can understand God's wonderful. You're resting in his finished work and relaxing in the finished work so you don't help him to be God. God's going to be God in his most wonderful way. So just let him be God in your life. God, that's you. That's right. But we don't pay attention to you. No, we don't. We don't. We don't. And Moses did, though, and ultimately Pharaoh did, in all the process. Now, in all of that, moving all of that and thinking all of that, John chapter 10. Now, the Jewish people were to receive you, and they did, in a sense. Chapter 10, and we know, what about you, God? Well, what did the Pharisees, the Sadducees, certainly, and the Essenes, what did the people know? They followed the rulers, the Pharisees. What do they know about you, God? Well, John, what are you going to say when you introduce him? John the Baptist, introduce him. Behold the, 129, the Lamb of God, that what? Taketh away the sin of the world. I want to introduce him to you. And he did. Wow. Wow. Now, introducing him, now what did you do with him? What did you do? And the whole, and his, all 21 chapters of John. Plus, I'll tell you what, trying to help you understand, you had an opportunity to realize and understand God was became flesh and dwelt among us, born in Bethlehem of Judea. And you could know him personally. Personally, straightway. Just like Sunday school. It's being saved is personal. It's God's person and your person. And it isn't your intellect or your... It's you. You. The person. And we want to exercise, well, I don't, can't do all that. Now, therefore, John chapter 10, what was the end result? Verse 33. And the Jews answered him, saying, 10:33, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy. What is that? Because thou, being a man, makest thyself God. And you can't make yourself God. Who do you think you are? To make yourself God. Wow. Okay. Well, and that's what that's how they looked at it. Now God, but he's king. We don't see him as king. Now, but, take that back. Over to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. And what did they want to do when he was doing all the miracles and feeding them and healing them? They wanted to go, as you remember. John 6. Verse 14, then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth the prophet that should come into the world. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force. They're going to grab him and make him, to make him a king. He departed again. Departed again into a mountain himself alone. God did that all by himself. Now, God, they wanted you. They tried to grab you, and you walked right away from them. They couldn't do a thing. They wanted to make you king. They aren't making you king. God makes you king. God makes you king, not them. You don't make God anything. I don't make God anything. God is who he is, wonderfully. And we learn to reverence him, to fear him, to respect him more properly. Now, so here we are, and he's gone. Now, so therefore we move into the moment of the season. Over, if you would, please. In the process, to Matthew chapter 21. And you were there in your reading, but I want you to note what it says. Matthew chapter 21, excuse me. And in Matthew 21, picking up, please, remember the Lord enters the city, you read it, and he gets this donkey, unused donkey, and God can do anything in this marvelous way. Why didn't the donkey balk? Why didn't the donkey kick him off? Why did the donkey be so happy? A little donkey, never been on, going through the crowd, all pushing and cheering, and the donkey never just went straight down the line. Wow, God, why is that? Because God's on it. God's riding it. Yeah. Oh, God, it has to be. It has to be. That's right. So now, here he is entering the city, and they're shouting. They're all excited, as you know. And as they come, as you read in Zechariah 9, verse 9. And so now, as you're coming, verse 5, 21:5. Tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, the king cometh unto thee meek and sitting upon an ass, and the colt, the foal of an ass, the son of an ass, Now, and he's coming. Now, here he comes. Now, there's over 2 million people in, think a little Jerusalem at the Passover. And I think it was Jerome or whatever it was. Anyway, it's a lot of people. You just couldn't imagine the crowd. And here he comes. Now, what about it? He's coming. Now, verse 10. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? And the multitude said, this is Jesus the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee, who you want to make king. Who is this? He's moved. And remember now, when you speak of that, you want to think of our little word seismic, a seismograph, earthquakes. That's the word move, English word, move, seismic, an earthquake, shaking up and down, great disturbance, etc. All going. What are they doing? They are moved, like an earthquake. The whole thing is thinking, who is this? Who was this one that dare come in on an animal, a donkey? And they're all saying, king. Wow. Are you Pharisees ready for this? No. Sadducees, you certainly aren't. Essenes, no, you aren't either. He's coming. Who is he? Who is he coming? Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, if you would, go over with me to pick it off. Luke and chapter 19. Luke and chapter 19. Now remember, he's coming, and Luke gives us another window of the whole thing. And in Luke chapter 19, may I pick up the thought, if I can, in verse 38, 1938. Now, remember, all the way through, I try to get you to go into eternity where there is no time. I wanted you to see just God. God creating angels. God proceeding then to give an exhibit to the angels of his wonderful person by creating humans who are less than angels. And God is going to take humans that are less than angels, and God is going to go and save humans who are less than angels, who are made of the dust. How is he going to save them? By his wonderful person. He himself shall be the Savior. He's the one to do it. God, you're going to provide all by yourself, yourself. That's correct. That's what I'm going to do. Is anyone appreciating it? No, no, no. But boy, God, are you making it clear. In particular, here are the angels looking at a world full of religion and unbelief and no God. And here's a little remnant of people hither and yon that look to him and know him. And the angels are watching all this. Wow. And the devil, we're going at 6 o'clock, playing the game to bring all the world into a oneness to go against God. Ah. Now, having said that, Luke, having said that, sliding down, here he is, and in verse 40, but remember now, you need to know the background of the particular context. Remember, if you would, he's going to go and cleanse the temple. The temple is the sanctuary where God is. They have put God out of the sanctuary, out of the temple. God, you cleansed the temple. I did. Did you guys realize that's my place? The temple is where you find me, in the sanctuary. And to boot, I went and used the fig tree. Here I am coming in and out of Jerusalem. I used the fig tree to help you what? This leaf, where's the fruit? Where's the figs? The fig tree, the fruit, fruitfulness. Israel, you kicked me out of my own house, sanctuary, temple, and you are a fruitless people. You have no life, no evidence of life, none whatsoever. Ah. Now God, that's the background as he comes in. And now you want to read. God, you put it for us so we don't have to guess at it. Verse 39, and some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you, if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. The ground would cry. He's God. He's God. Everyone, all creation knows he's God, except people that should know he's God. They're created in his image and likeness to enjoy him in a unique way. But they don't. Now, God, that doesn't sound like a very good time, a happy time of what you're looking at. No, it isn't. Therefore, verse 40, and he answered and said unto them, I tell you, verse 41 better. And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it. He wept. He poured out his heart. This isn't just weeping. I've only had one occasion for myself like that. Weeping, grief, pouring out. He isn't just crying. He's pouring out his tears. Why? You dummies. You have all of this. I'm standing in front of you, and you're going to crucify me. You're yelling, King, And tomorrow you're going to yell, we have no king. And he wept bitterly, bitterly over it, saying, if thou hadst known, even thou hadst at least at this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. And what are you going to do? Verse 45 in that. The Titus is going to come in, and in Titus 70 AD, and level this city, and level this temple, because you reject me. If you had just known, here I am in front of you, going to do the most awesome thing in all of forever, my wonderful plan to glorify my wonderful person, for me to go and be born in Bethlehem of Judea, and to die on Calvary's cross, and to rise again, and to bear the sin of the world in my own body on the tree, that I myself, the Creator, am the Redeemer. I will provide myself the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. I am going to do it. And if you just understood this, and he wept. They didn't understand. If you had just known the peace, the power, the privilege that stands in front of you to be real, to make real and wonderful in your life all that I ever planned before you were ever created, my wonderful plan for your human life is to enjoy my life. But you won't never know it. What might have been? That word could be said of people. What might have been if you got saved? What might have been if you trusted him? How would your life have been different? To commence the end, to commence and then come to the end, consummation of your life. What's it going to be like? Even so, come. Wow. God, I tried to get you to understand. God, a personal God is so personal. Actually, God is too personal, because he's very personal about us, and God loves us and knows us from inside out, and knows in us dwelleth no good thing, and knows there's nothing in us but except what God has made possible. Sin has taken it from us. God, the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world, has made it possible for us to claim and reclaim all of the wonderment that God you have in mind. God help us. Our Father and God, we look to you to deal with our heads and our hearts. Thank you very much for loving us. Thank you for caring. God, all we can do is fumble along. Thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen.